So the question about that is that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. We've heard a lot about trust today. For Sue and I, it's been an interesting week. As many of you know, I've been diagnosed with melanoma in my liver, and melanoma cancer in my liver. So I've had a PET scan. I've had a CT scan. I've had an MRI on my head, which they probably found nothing, but nothing's up there. So, but anyway, but Oswald Chambers, in his devotional talks about facing challenges in our life, everyday life, he said yesterday when I was reading his devotional, he came across this, the devotional talk and facing adversity in our lives. He said that God never gives strength for tomorrow or for the next hour, but only for the strain of a minute. The temptation is to face difficulties from a common sense point of view. And many times I can look at a lot of things and I can look at a lot of different areas and feel anxiety about that and worry about tomorrow. But God says that we never know what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, worry about today. Trust in Him today. For Sue and I, we believe that God is in control. And we firmly believe in His healing power. And we have been surrounded by family and friends, such as you, praying for us. We have been blessed by words of comfort and hope. We look forward to seeing the mighty power of God working through this situation. We firmly believe that God's going to do something miraculous, that God's going to do some things in our lives that we don't even know what's happening right now. We've had a chance to testify. We've had a chance to give testimony of what God's doing for family and friends, knowing that even my work associates, everything else like that. It was really fun when I was throwing the beer for VBS, for Charlie Castaway, that I've had this comment thing, where are you throwing this beer? It's for VBS. And my top bosses and stuff like that would say that, and they allowed me to go ahead and keep throwing the beer. So it was more of a testimony to God. And it's a wonderful, it's been that wonderful time to know that we can walk through this because we know the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But, you know, it's enough about us. But I really want to talk about God gave His word to share with us about regarding trust. Just as Nicole needed to trust me, and she took a little step back and had to do the second time, to trust us sometimes, to catch her, so we need to trust the Lord in all of our circumstances. We need to trust God in everything. The question for many of us is that we feel we are trusting Him. We feel we are trusting Him, but we want to be the conductor of God's plan. Any of you feel that way? Yeah, Lord, I trust you, but let me take care of how you're supposed to do it. Let me give you the directions of how you're supposed to do it. We want to be the conductor of God's plan instead of letting Him be the conductor. And letting Him be the conductor. We're going to examine the lives of three people who needed to trust God in their particular situation. And their lives were changed. One was a centurion. One was a woman who had been sick for 12 years. And the last one was Peter. Turn with me to Matthew 8, 5 through 13. Matthew 8, 5 through 13. Matthew 8, 5 through 13. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him, pleading with Him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say this to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does that. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, for surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Let's look at these verses a little bit more in depth. Look at a centurion, not an Israelite, came calling to Jesus. The centurion was a Roman soldier. The centurion was not one that Jesus came to come to, to basically to save. He came to save the people of Israel. But this Roman centurion had heard about Jesus. And he came to him, he says, pleading that his servant would be healed. Pleading. To me, pleading is like prayers of believers really petitioning God. Petitioning God for something. We sometimes wonder about the power of prayer. When we plead before God, we petition God, God hears our prayer. God really responds to our prayer. He wants the prayers of the faithful to be able to go and plead before Him and say, are you really serious with me? Are you really serious? The centurion recognized the sinfulness. Look, he says, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. All of us today are sinful people. We are sinful people. We are sinful people resurrected by the Jesus Christ Himself. We are only made holy because of Jesus Christ. If we come by our own standards, if we come by our own ways and everything else, we are sinful people. And we say, Lord God, I am not worthy to come under your roof, but speak of the word and I will be healed. And my servant will be healed. He implored Jesus just to speak the word. He didn't need Jesus to come to him. He didn't need Jesus to go to servant and go lay hands on him. He said, Jesus, the power of your word will heal my servant. Just speak the word. The power of your word will heal my servant. I have no idea, it doesn't say in Scripture, how far his servant was away. His servant could have been 20 miles away. He could have been 30 miles away. He could have been right next door. It doesn't say that. It says, Jesus, speak the word and my servant will be healed. You've got to remember, this is a Roman soldier who understands authority. As many of us talked about, the authority of God. And he just shared that testimony. You guys sort of written my... The sermon has been written already. Everybody's speaking in my iPad here. I'm regurgitating some of the stuff that's already been shared. But that's okay. And Jesus recognized the man's faith. He recognized the man's faith and lifted him up as a true example of faith. How would the other people felt around him? How would the other people felt? You Israelites, don't you see? The Roman soldiers who are oppressing you, the centurion who's oppressing you, have more faith than you do in the people of God that I've come to save. What does that do for each one of us? We have non-believers sometimes believing, have more faith in God than we do as believers. They believe more in the power of something else, a higher standard of life, than we believe in God. So it's kind of like a thought I want to share with us out of this verse. We need to plead with Jesus. We are not to give up. 4 years, right, Manga? 4 years. We're not to give up. We're not going to give up what God's going to do. We're not going to give up for the world, as it talks about in the Scripture, to be with Jesus. I love what our sister said about being with Jesus. Unschooled, ordinary men. Be with Jesus. They were with Jesus. They changed the world. 5,000 people. You imagine 5,000 people showing up in this congregation right now? We'd be outside. And they wouldn't even fit to the outside. Think of that. Do you have faith for that? Do you have faith for that to happen? Do you have faith for the healing power of God to touch people's lives? Plead with Jesus. Trust God. You know, men find things impossible, but all things...
Amen.
With God, all things are possible. You know what? We look at a lot of things. I told Susan, I am so tired of doctors. I'm so tired of everything. I'm so tired of reading stuff. I know God is in control. God is in control. I mean, we know that. It says here, come with a humble heart. Come with a humble heart. We need to confess our sins before God. We need to confess our sins before God and know that Jesus is in control. We need to say, hey, God, I no longer am I going to be the conductor of my life. I'm going to allow you to be the conductor. Lord God, I'm just an instrument that's going to be used by you, be directed by you. You are the potter. I am the clay. You mold me. You shape me. You take me. You work with me in everything you want to do. But just speak the word, and I will be healed, because I'll be healed spiritually. I'll be healed physically. I'll be healed emotionally. I'll be healed mentally. I'll be healed relationally. I'll be healed every way. But you speak the word of God as a centurion. He says, the centurion also went home to speak the word of God. When we speak the word and believe in faith that Jesus will heal, great things will occur. You know, trust is simply speaking the word of God. Speaking the word of God. In Isaiah 55:11 says, my words now return to me empty, and it shall accomplish that which I purpose.
Amen.
That which I purpose. Let's go to the next character here in our little thing. The woman who had been sick for 12 years. Turn with me to Mark 5:25-34. Mark 5:25-34. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself the power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But the disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you. You say, who touched me? He looked around to see here who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. These verses again. The woman had been sick for 12 years. She had spent everything she had. She had not gotten well. She got worse. She had gone to doctor after doctor after doctor, gone to things like this, probably all types of things. She got worse. Probably had given a lot of false hope. If you do this, you'll get well. If you do this, you'll get well. If you do this, you'll get well. A lot of false hope. It says she might get better, but she only got worse. But then she heard about this man, Jesus. She heard about this man, Jesus. You got to realize, probably this woman is probably so crippled right now. She's so short, basically just crumped over probably. But she hears about Jesus. She hears about Jesus. And she says, if only I just touch him. If I just touch him, I will be healed. What trust there was there. Didn't you need to hear the word of God? Didn't you need to have somebody else? Didn't you need to have a doctor prescribe something? All she had to do was trust that if I touch him, I will be healed. Wow. If I just touch him, I will be healed. And she did. She was immediately healed. It wasn't like, oh, maybe a week from now. It was immediate. Immediate healing took place. Immediate healing when she was touched. Jesus asked a question, but he felt the power go up. You know what? I want to have Jesus ask me that question, and I want all of us to ask that question ourselves. When we touch Jesus, when Jesus asks that question, I felt some power come out of me. Who touched me? And what would your response be? Here is the woman with fear and trembling came before Jesus and said, Lord, I touched you. It's by your faith that you are healed. Go. You think of this story right now in Mark, in the Gospels, that is being taught. Here's a woman who really no significance at all. She doesn't have a name to attach to her. But this story is in the Scriptures to show us what it means to touch Jesus Christ. I mean, she didn't make a name for herself. She didn't go around and say, okay, I'm healed. I'm now on my crusades. I'm now on everything else. There was more to teach us what it meant to touch Jesus and to trust Him as we touch Jesus Christ. As we touch Jesus Christ. Poor Buck, the woman recognized that after all these years, she was not going to get better, even though she had gone through doctors. We sometimes go through life trying many things in our life to get better financially, to get better spiritually, to get better relationally, to get better physically. You know what? We end up just spinning wheels. God might have used some elements of the world to help us, but they're not the ultimate solution. The ultimate solution is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We need to recognize that Jesus Christ has the power of healing. Just as the woman had to force her way into the crowd. And I'm thinking somebody like Michael, who's up here with Tim at the piano. I love that. Michael's in a metro car, and it's packed. It's packed coming back from a national baseball game. It's just packed. And Michael, little Michael, is trying to reach through the crowd to touch him. Tim is way over here. He's got to wriggle his way through and touch him. It's like that woman had to do that. Touch. Because I know when Michael touches Tim, he feels that security. When we touch Jesus, we have that security. We have that trust. We have that trust. We need to be able to respond to Jesus when He asks, who touched me? For Jesus wants to see how much faith we are surrounded by the individuals who might not have that same faith. Are you willing to say to God, God, yes, I believe that You've touched me. I can share this with others. I can share this with others. You know, God puts this disease in me to maybe help others to know more about Him. Now, it doesn't mean that, and it says in Scripture, thank God in all circumstances.
Amen.
And that's what I've been doing. Not the easy times sometimes. It's not the easy time for you sometimes to go thank God for the circumstance you're in. But God's power is greater than whatever's in the world. Amen?
Yes.
And we believe that. We understand that. And we have to trust that. Because when we reach out and touch Jesus, He will heal us. He will heal us. We found out that when we received Jesus Christ as our life, when we were touched by Jesus, when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there were things that He healed you of when you were touched by Him. Amen? I don't know what it was. You do. Between you and the Lord, you know what that was. Trust is touching Jesus. Then our last person we want to talk about is Peter. Look at Matthew 14, 25 to 31. Matthew 14, 25 to 31. It says that shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, crying out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, it is you. Peter replied, let me come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. So when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began beginning to sink and cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? We look at these verses, we see the disciples seeing Jesus walking on the water, and their first reaction was, "It's a ghost. It's a ghost." What would your reaction be if you saw Jesus show up in your room? Huh? What would your reaction be? Their reaction is a ghost. But Jesus called out and he says, "Take courage, it is I." Jesus knew what was going through their hearts and their minds. There was fear that was happening. He says, "Take courage, it is I." Take courage. Heard many stories of people in hospitals and different things like that. Also, the angels show up. And they say, "Take courage, it is I." And they're not sure what they're seeing. "Take courage, it is I." Peter's still questioning it. Jesus says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out in the water." And Jesus says, "Come." If Jesus asks you to do that, you're not sure what God wants you to do, are you trusting Him enough when He says, "Okay, it's time for you to do this"? You know, we talk about Jesus and Peter and the disciples. The only one who got out of the boat was Peter. Everybody else stayed in the boat. Everybody else stayed in the security of the boat. But Peter got out. Do you trust God to get out of a boat? Do you trust God to get out of a boat in some situation that you're in? Do you trust God to go out of a box, if you will, and do something that God has something out of the ordinary for you? Peter started walking, but he was focusing on Jesus. And what was happening there as Peter was walking on the water, as he focused on Jesus? He's walking on the water. I wouldn't encourage any of us right now, unless God gives you the word, to walk on the water. But he's walking on the water. But what happens? He starts seeing the waves. He starts hearing, feeling the wind. He loses focus.
Right.
When he was seeking Jesus, he was walking on the water. When his trust was seeking Jesus, but when he started looking at other things around him, and looking at all the other circumstances that are around him, he lost focus. And he wasn't able to see anymore. He said, "Lord, help me! Help me!" Peter, Jesus knew that. He said, and he reached out his hand and he picked Jesus up. He says, "Oh man of little faith." Oh man of little faith. You know, we don't know when Jesus will show up in a situation. We don't know. Because Jesus will meet this, meet us in His time, in His time only. We can do everything we want to say, "Jesus, you need to show up right here." But that's not His will. We need to believe that God's calling us, "Not my will, but your will be done." As we seek Him. Jesus calls us to step out of the boat. Peter was willing to step out of that boat and beginning to walk with Jesus. Because with Peter, we sometimes get out of the boat and look to seek Jesus, but we're determined. And our eyes are focused on Him, but the waves of doubt, the winds of different voices begin to sink in. We lose our focus, which is Jesus. Which is Jesus. You have many people talking different things to you right now. Say, "You need to do this, you need to do that." But our focus needs to be upon Jesus Christ. What's Jesus saying to you? What's Jesus saying to you? You might need some counsel from elders or the pastors here. Help me to discern that word. We're described the counsel. There's a multitude of counsel there. There's wisdom. This is in Proverbs. I remember a guy one time asking me when I got breakfast one time. 5:30 in the morning. He said, "Okay, we'll have breakfast." He wanted to know if he wanted to buy a house. He wanted my word to say yes or no. I said, that's your problem. Between you and the Lord. I didn't have the wisdom for that. We're still good friends. Very good friends. But anyway, we need to keep our eyes focused on Christ. But even when Peter was sinking, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus did not let him down. We need to not fear the fear of failing. We're going to fail because we are human beings. We're going to get discouraged because we're human. We're going to lose trust in God because we're human. We're going to sink because we're human. But we have a Savior who is there to reach down His arm, take His hand, and pick us up out of where we're at, and to say, Lord God, You're going to move forward right now. Because I look at Peter, and he realized he had taken his eyes off the Lord and needed to refocus and seek the Lord's help. But Jesus, even though He questioned Peter's faith, and He might question our faith at times, I take heart that Jesus still chose Peter to be the head of His church. To be the head of His church. And to be the one who would bring forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. He didn't give up on Peter. God doesn't give up on us. We should never give up on God. We should never give up on God. For He's refining Peter, and He refines us to seek Him at all times. That's what His focus. So that the trust is seeking Jesus. So we look at that, no matter the circumstances you're confronting, I want you to know that Jesus is with you. He says He will never leave us nor forsake us. It's even like we talked about earlier, the micro on the car, metro car. He could see Tim here. And he knew that Tim would never leave him in the metro car. The coal one, but Tim would. Now, Cole might do that to AJ. But anyway, we'll never leave. It's the same thing with the Father. The Father is never going to leave us nor forsake us. No matter how far we walk away, no matter how far we walk away and we sin, the Father still has a hand to pull us up. To pull us up. The question being for each one of us, do you trust Him with your whole life? Not just a part of your life, but your whole life. Your whole life. Everything about your life. Everything about it. You trust Him. For trust means, again, speaking the Word of God over your situation. Meditating on your Word of God. Meditating on the Word. Touching Jesus. Reach out and touch Him. The power of God, when you touch Him, the power of God goes out and touches you in a very special way. As you seek Jesus, you're keeping your focus on Him. Not on the circumstances around you, but on Jesus Christ Himself. And no matter if you start sinking, know that you've got the hand of God reaching down to pick you up. Let's just pray. Father, we thank You, Lord God, that we can trust You with all of our life. We thank You, Father, that, Lord God, no matter where we're at in our stage of life, Father, Father, Lord God, You are with us at all times. We thank You, Father, for the anointing of Your Holy Spirit, Father, to touch each one of us today. We are blessed by You, Father, Father, God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Close up our worship.
One thing that struck me from what he just shared was getting out of the boat. And some people stay in the assurance of a physical place, stay in the assurance of the boat. You know, I'm safe in a physical place. But Peter felt safety in the place, in a